Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us from Petco Park on our Friar Friday interview, Cy Young Award candidate Nick Pivetta is on the program today, and we are really happy to have you on, Nick. First of all, welcome. And secondly, I'm not just saying Cy Young candidate to get on your good side. I'm saying it because I think it deserves to be mentioned, and I wonder how that sounds to you.
Obviously, it's a great honor to be put in those terms, but, you know, I think my focus is just like winning for the team and winning for the organization. And I think when you kind of have those linear focuses and you're kind of just going about your business and it's team oriented, I think good things happen to everybody, you know. I was able to put the right work in the off season and coming into here with San Diego Padres, and, you know, things have turned out pretty good so far.
Nick, let's talk about the offseason and how free agency went for you. You ended up signing with the Padres really, really late, and I'm sure that's not ideal. But nonetheless, you've come out, and I mean, just go. What went into that free agency for you as it got towards the end there, and you were finally able to sign with a team?
Yeah, It was definitely an interesting process for me. I mean, I had the qualifying offer attached to me, so I think there's a lot of unknowns going into that process. But, you know, I just stayed patient, stayed focused. I work out at Cressy's Performance Center in Jupiter, Florida, so, you know, I'm around baseball players all the time. And, you know, I think just working out with other guys and continuing to work on baseball and focus on that, knowing that I'm going to, you know, land somewhere. And, you know, gratefully and awesomely, like, you know, I landed with such a great organization, great group of guys at San Diego Padres. And, you know, I think I just stayed patient, just tried to stay sane-minded and knew that something would come my way. And, you know, luckily I landed in, you know, a great place, you know, led by AJ with Schilt and then Ruben, you know, and then the plethora of guys here that, you know, lead this team to so many wins, you know. And then, you know, also it's great to be part of a winning organization as well. It's a great gift as well. So the success that they had, it just, you know, I was very, very grateful for the opportunity.
Nick Pivetta is with us. He came right on the scene for the Padres here. I mean, he introduced himself to us with seven innings of one-hit ball in his first outing and haven't really looked back since. I think it's too simple to ask you if you felt like you had something to prove this year as a free agent, but I wonder if, you know, having to wait to be able to sign gave you just a little extra, you know, to say, hey, look, you know, everybody could have had me and nobody did until the Padres came around. Or have you just let all that go?
Yeah, I don't really look at it that way. You know, I think there's a lot of great organizations out there, and, you know, so would it so be that, you know, they passed up on me? That's okay. I think I firmly believe that I landed in the great in the right place for the right reasons. And, you know, I'm just happy to be here more in a sense. And it's not to prove anybody wrong or do anything else. It's more just my passion and wanting to be a great pitcher and wanting to be the best. And I want to beat the best and compete with great athletes and go about it that way. And, you know, I just have that pride and drive and I really want to win too. So I think all those things are just, you know, who I am, but it's mostly out of just winning for my teammates, for the organization. And then I want to play with the best players there are.
You've segued me now twice to the next question by your answer, and you mentioned your passion. I've said it on multiple occasions that you take me back. When I'm watching you pitch, you take me back to, like, my 15, 16-year-old self watching Kevin Brown on the mound and his kind of intensity.
Same number, by the way, Tony.
And everything, and that's part of why it hits my mind like that. Where has that intensity come from? Has that always been Nick Pivetta?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, that's who I've been, but you know, you always want to emulate those great pitchers, whoever they are. We can go through the names and lists of all the great players. We don't have to right now, but like, I think you see that drive in them, and you want to be as good as them, or you want to be better than them. It's nothing out of ego or anything else. It's just like, why am I playing this game? Well, I just want to play this game to be a great baseball player and contribute too to a team aspect, and win a World Series championship. I think those are the main goals, and I firmly believe if you just surround yourself and get yourself in winning situations, usually good things happen in the end, and you know, success leads to that as well.
Nick, Tony touched on this. I mean, I think you represent a lot of us out on that mound. Just us normal guys who watch you pitch, and because we want you to get the out, and we feel like you want to get the out, and you're so passionate.
Yeah.
And we see you talking a little. What do you say? What are you saying? Can you give us a?
When I talk to myself on the mound.
Yeah. Is it clean enough for?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's mostly just like self reinforcement and positive attitude. It's always like just calming the moment too. I feel like there's numerous resets in an outing, and always finding that good reset to get into that kind of, that subconscious mode, that flow state, as you say, or will, when things are just kind of coming easy. And it's just kind of that kind of dance and battle and, you know, fun thing to find, but, you know, just self-talk, positive self-talk, and like just trying to keep myself very present in the moment of what's going on and making sure that I'm very present. I think being present is very important for me this year.
Nick Pivetta joins us, Padres starter, possible Cy Young candidate. And Nick, let me ask you, because you know, as you've gone through your career, you've been regarded as a guy that the stuff doesn't match the numbers. This year, you're having a career year. What for you has come together in order for you to have the success that you're having on the field in this particular season?
Yeah, I think it's like it's years of kind of experience, kind of getting me, you know, obviously started in Philly and then kind of finding some building blocks in Boston, and then, you know, trying to figure out what the correct way to build a building is now. I think in that type of term, it's what is the foundation of it? For me, what I think about there is, I think limiting my walks as much as I possibly can is kind of like my safeguard. It's how many guys can I not walk? Okay, how do I not walk guys? How many times can I get ahead of guys? Okay, how many times, what pitches can I get ahead of guys? And how many times can I get ahead of guys through an order? So if you just like really filter through the sand, it's very specific things that lead up to bigger things. And I think it's, as we know, like being in the big leagues for, you know, the years that I have been, and very grateful for that, I've gotten a sense to kind of learn from it too and try to figure it out. And I've been given time in this game, which I'm very grateful for, to continue to learn those things and progress. And I think, you know, I've taken some really good steps forward. And I think, you know, obviously I can be much better than even I was this year. And, you know, you kind of just try to see how that goes moving into next year as well.
Nick, we appreciate the time so much. I want to try to sneak one more in. I know you have a lot to get done. Victoria,
no,
you're from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, which is a place I've actually had a chance to go. And I was there with a hockey team. And, of course, Canada, it's hockey. So how did you grow up and get into baseball? Did you have to fight off the hockey coaches at all, or did you ever skate?
No, if I'm being blunt and honest, I wasn't the most athletic when I was younger, not the swiftest on skates, and I really didn't want to wake up at 6 a.m. for practice. So
okay.
I really enjoyed soccer, and I started to play soccer, and then I was playing baseball from a young age, just like Little League and having fun and doing that. And I just progressed from there, and I think when it started to get serious was when I was 16 years old. I met Greg Hamilton at a tournament in Okanagan, British Columbia, I believe, and he asked me to come be a part of the junior national team, and I think that's when things started to progress as a baseball player. I was about 16, 17, doing a lot of trips to the junior national team, going down to the Dominican Republic,
then
doing going to Cuba, doing the World Junior Baseball Classic, and I think that just kind of set me on my road of, okay, this is baseball, and this is what I want to do, and I'm okay at it. I'm pretty good. I wasn't the greatest, but you know, I had a little bit of a drive and some talent. And I just tried to figure it out step by step.
Nick, last one for me.
Yeah.
You get an opportunity to work with Ruben Niebla. He's regarded as one of the best. What is it for you that makes him a good pitching coach?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. I don't think there's really one thing. I think there's, you know, a number of things, but I think it's the way that he communicates to the players, the freeness that we have as players to kind of be ourselves and be creative and have fun. But then when we get into game time, it's what pitches can we throw? How are we going to execute our pitches? What homework are we going to do? So he keeps you in line, but then also when you get into a bullpen setting, it's very creative. It's very fun. And, you know, there's just that willingness to kind of tinker with certain things. And then also the knowledge to just kind of keep things where they need to be at times as well. So I think it's just his communication overall is really good, but his just baseball knowledge, the amount that he cares about the individuals, you know, the amount that he's learned from all of his past experiences and the way he's been able to communicate that to players is very, very sound.
Nick, we're having such a great interview here. I got to ask about the nose.
You're fine. I'm not in a rush at all.
All right, good. Well, I know that we kind of talk. The Padre, you know, folks that have tried to keep us at a certain time, and we try to, you know, go along with that.
Yeah, you're good.
But
don't worry about that.
The nose to toes curveball. I love this. We love watching it. I'm sure you enjoy throwing it. I know they don't like trying to hit it. Where do you give? Where do you go with some credit for that? Was it an early coach? Just something you're able to get the spin rate, or what?
Yeah. So when I was when I first made it to the big leagues, my pitching coach Bob McClure was there, and Aaron Nola had the same grip, and Aaron Nola just threw his curveball, and he said, "Why don't you throw this?" And I said, "Okay." So I just started to throw it. It worked with my arm angle. It wasn't really good earlier on, but then as I continued to throw into 2018, it kind of progressed more and more, and I think through 2019 and 2020 kind of tilted as I did. But as I continued to move and figure out, you know, as the Rapsodos came along and kind of figure out the numbers of it, how it works, why it works, the information behind tunneling and all of that, it kind of gives you more of a creative and like a third person view at it. So then I was able to kind of, you know, mess with it, do certain things with it, but then perfect it. And then after that, it's all about throwing strikes with it. So I have really good command with it, probably the best I've had in my career this year. So that's why it's kind of been a staple a little bit more for me now. And then obviously with the sweeper, it's taken a lot of, it's also helped that pitch get better as well.
Nick, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate
you guys having me on.
All right,
pleasure.
Sir. Always best of luck the rest of the way. Can't wait to see you back on the hill.
Yeah, I'll see you guys soon. Okay, take care.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.